Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me today, I am going to bring a message to you beginning in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, we are going to look at some very critical truths. If we are going to understand the truth of this word, I mean the truth, the absolute truth of this word, the truth of the gospel, the truth of salvation. If we are going to understand the truth, then we need to understand the truth concerning three very important events. Three very important events that took place. I'm going to say it this way, and then I'll explain to you why I'm saying it this way. Number one, we need to understand the truth of what happened in the garden. We must understand that. Number two, we need to understand the truth of what happened in the garden. And number three, we need to understand the truth of what happened in the garden. Three very important gardens. Three different gardens, but three very, very critical gardens. What happened in each garden? The first one is right here in Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 8, it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." What happened in the Garden of Eden? What really happened in the Garden of Eden? Now let me show you the other two and then we'll come back. In John chapter 18, John chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples." Matthew 26 and Mark 14 both tell us that the name of this garden was Gethsemane. That's the name of the garden he entered into right there. So what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? What really happened? When he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, what truly happened? All right, the third very important garden is in John 19. John 19, verse 41, it says, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid." Where was he crucified? In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. Where was he crucified? Calvary. He was crucified at Calvary. So what happened in the Garden of Eden? What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? And what happened in the Garden of Calvary? What truly happened? I believe it would shock us to realize how many people don't know. I believe it would shock us to realize how many people do not know. Most people believe they know. But this word tells us what truly happened. And seeing it in this word would probably shock many people. Many, many people on this earth do not know what happened in the Garden of Eden. And they do not know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. Something happened right there. And they do not know what happened in the Garden of Calvary. And I pray the Lord would reveal it to us today. I pray He might cause all of us to see the truth regarding this, because if we don't understand this, then we don't understand the truth of the gospel. And we don't understand the truth of salvation. So let's go to our first garden. Back in Genesis, it says in Genesis chapter 2, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Well, in Genesis 1, it says, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then in chapter 1, verse 31, it says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God made man, and he was very good. Very good. He was perfect. He was made in the image of God. Made in the image of Christ, and he was perfect. As God was, so was man. All right, now chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man was alive. In this perfect state that God created him to be in, he was alive. He was alive to God. He was alive with God. He was physically alive, and he was spiritually alive. He was alive. God is life. God is life. And in the image of God, man became a living soul, a living spirit. All right, that's what man was. Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." He put man in this garden he created. Verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Die. I want us to really get a hold of this. I want to emphasize this. He said, "In the day that you sin against me and eat of the fruit that I command you not to eat of, you're going to die. Die." Now, chapter 3, verse 6 says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." They both ate of it. Verse 17, "And unto Adam God said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." That's what's going to happen. All right. What happened in the Garden of Eden? What truly happened in the Garden of Eden? Here's the answer. Man died. Man spiritually died. That spiritual death eventually brings a physical death. Man spiritually died. In the day he ate of that very fruit God commanded him not to eat, man became spiritually separated, spiritually severed from God in death. Man now is born into this world spiritually dead. Man did not just set himself back a little bit, which is what many people think happened. Many people believe man moved from the nice list to the naughty list. That's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. He died. He died. In the moment that he rebelled against God, as soon as he rebelled, in that very moment, man earned something from God. He became worthy of something as soon as he rebelled. He became deserving of something. Right then, he was owed something. Let's read about it in Romans chapter 6. If you turn with me over to Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 23, "For the wages of sin," this is what man was owed, this is what he earned. You go to work all week. Come the end of the week, you earned a paycheck. You are owed your paycheck. Your paycheck, you earned it. All right, here's the wages of sin. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Death. Not a slap on the wrist. Death. That's what man earned. That's what man became worthy of. That's what he was owed. Some say, that's not fair. That's not fair. Adam did it. I didn't do it. Well, turn with me back one chapter to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." By one man sin entered into the world. "And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All have sinned. All. We cannot say, well, Adam did it. We've done it too. Some say, well, every man ought to have a chance. He did. He was born into this world. What's the first thing he did? He sinned. He sinned. It's in his nature. David said, "I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies." We don't teach our children how to lie. Why do they lie? It's their nature. It's in them. All have sinned. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "In Adam all die." That means every human being that comes from the line of Adam dies. And it's because sin has been passed to every man. So the problem for man is not that he just has some bad deeds on his record that need to be fixed. That's not the problem for man. The problem for man is he's dead. He's dead. He's spiritually dead. He needs life. That's what man needs, life. Man does not need rehabilitation. He needs life. You don't walk into a funeral home and say every person laying in these caskets needs rehabilitation. No, they need life. If there's going to be any hope for them, they need life. Man does not need a support group. He needs life. What is the only way for a man who is dead in trespasses and sins to receive life? What is the only way for a man or a woman who is dead in trespasses and sins to receive life? What must happen for life to come back? Here's the answer. The sin must be removed. That's the answer. the sin must be removed. Sin is what killed him. Sin is what causes death. Sin brings those wages. As long as sin is there, those wages will be there. There will be death in him. It's not that the sin needs to be tamed. That's not it at all. It must be gone. It must be removed. It's not that the sin needs to be forgiven. I so deeply want to emphasize this. It's not that the sin needs to be forgiven, which is what most every person thinks. Well, I need to be forgiven. No, no, no. That's not so. Someone could say, well, I forgive you. I forgive you for the sin you committed. Well, the sin is still there. Therefore, the death is still there. It's not that sin needs to be forgiven. It needs to be removed. It has to be removed. It's the only hope we have. It's the only way. Now, let me ask us this question. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 26. It says in Matthew 26, verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." What was happening right there? What was happening? Is he sorrowful over the fact that he's going to have to endure the cross? He's just dreading it so much. Is that what it is? Is he preparing himself for the pain and the torture that they're about to bring on him, knowing that they're going to pull his beard out and press the crowns in his head and spit in his face and smite him? And is that what it is? Is he saying, Father, if there's any other way besides this cross, then please don't make me go through it? Is that what he's saying? Absolutely not. He set his face like a flint to that cross. He endured it for the joy set before him. He said, for this cause came I into the world. This is the only reason that I came into the world. Then why did he fall on his face crying, let this cup pass from me? What was happening? What was he saying? Why was his soul exceeding sorrowful even unto death? Why? Why did he cry in the middle of verse 42? Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. What was happening right then? What caused him to say, death is coming upon me? Here's the question. What was in that cup? That's the question. What was in that cup? What was he drinking? And here's the answer. He was drinking the sin of all of his people. He was drinking the sin. He was taking the sin that all of his people had committed, and he was drinking it into himself. He drank the iniquity of his people like water. Isaiah 53 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us. the iniquity of us all of His people, every chosen soul. God the Father removed the sin from His people. He took all of the sin from all of His people and He put it in a cup, and then He handed that cup to His own beloved Son, and He said, "Here, drink this." And when Christ drank it, He made Himself to be sin. And when He made Himself to be the sin of His people, He made His people to be free from sin. He made His people to be the righteousness of God that He was. That's what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. A transfer took place, an absolute transfer. Sin was removed from all of God's people by being laid on their Savior. It was removed. It was removed. Now, what did He do with it? What happened to all of that sin? Well, what happened in the third garden will answer that question. What happened in the Garden of Calvary? Look with me, if you would, at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verse 13, it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him." You and I being dead in our sins, spiritually dead, God the Father quickened us, gave us life again by joining us with Christ. That transfer we just saw. "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." That means removed. Removed all trespasses. Verse 14, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." He removed all of the trespasses of all of His people by laying them on Christ. And once He laid them on Christ, He nailed them to the cross. The cross of Christ, nailed it to His cross. He took our sin and He nailed it to His cross. And on that cross, fulfilling the wages of that sin, what did we say the wages were? Death. Fulfilling the wages of that sin, getting the paycheck, getting what was owed, getting what was earned. He sovereignly bowed His head and gave up the ghost. What did He accomplish by doing that? When He made that payment, what did He accomplish by doing that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He obtained eternal redemption for all of His people. All of His people. When He cried from the cross, "It is finished," at that moment He did not just make salvation possible. He made salvation finished. Finished. Hebrews 9 verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." No more sin. It's gone. He put it away. It's gone. And now Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 says, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." He's perfected them forever. All of them. What happened in the Garden of Eden? By sin, because of sin, man died. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? Christ willingly took the sin of His people, and He took their penalty of death. He took the wages He took everything that was supposed to go to them, everything they had earned, into His own body. That's what happened in Gethsemane. And what happened in the Garden of Calvary? Through the wages, through the penalty, through the suffering of death that all of that sin demanded, Christ put it away. Christ put it away. May we really get a hold of this. Men stand up and very falsely tell sinners, you need to put away your sin. You need to put away your sin. You can't, and I can't. That's why Christ came. But that's what He did. He put all of it away. That sin ran its course in His own body. And as He laid there in that grave, by His accomplishment in the Garden of Calvary, He redeemed us. Totally redeemed us. We are redeemed, we are perfected, and life has been restored. In the work of Christ, in everything that He accomplished in that garden, life has been restored. And in Him, we are no longer dead and no longer ruined. God now looks at us in the person and the work of Christ, and He says, behold, they are very good. In Christ, in the redemption of Christ, He said, they're very good. And how do we know that this is true? How do we know that everything is put away and everything is completely restored? God raised Him from the dead. That's how we know. That's how we know the sin is gone. Where sin is, death must be. Death will stay. Sin brings death. But when the sin is gone, life comes. And God raised Him from the dead. And if God raised Him from the dead, God will raise all of His people in Him, with Him, from eternal death, physical death, no longer ruined, redeemed. Therefore, all the glory goes to Him. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.